Aren't we lucky? We get tax collectors 2 weeks in a row, back to back. If you remember last week, we talked about the tax collector. We considered the fact that a tax collector wasn't just frustrating because he took your money. He wasn't just something that drove us crazy just because they decided a piece of every part of life got to have the crust cut off. But tax collectors worked for the Romans, which made them traitors. There's this distancing, we may not think highly of IRS agents, but it's actually more so, believe it or not. They despise tax collectors more, if you think that's possible, because they were traitors. They worked for the enemy. They might as well have been spies for the other side. Any number of horrible things could be attached to them. There was this great open animosity towards tax collectors. And Zacchaeus, being a chief tax collector, all the more so, would have been hated, would have been despised, would have utterly been rejected for being a tax collector. Maybe he shouldn't have chosen the job. Maybe it wasn't, the right one for him. But he did. And this is what he was. And that's where he was. And unfortunately for him, he was short in stature. Maybe he had short man syndrome. Who knows? But when the time comes, he too wanted to see Jesus. When he finds out that this Jesus is coming, he wants a glimpse too. He's looking for something. He's genuinely looking for something. And remember that as a chief tax collector, money he has, power he absolutely has. Chief tax collectors could tell the troops, the Roman soldiers, to get up and move if they had to. He wielded an enormous amount of power and wealth and all the things that the world might hold as dear and valuable. He had them all. But he's looking for something. He genuinely wants something more. There's something more important out there. And so he seeks it out. And he's looking to see this Jesus guy. Now, no one's going to give him any help. He's a chief tax collector. They're already done with him. They're going to cast him out. The fact that he's short, they don't even care. It's not like he could ask the people if he could get, a seat up front, so to speak, and an inability to see in front of the crowd and actually stand there. No one is going to help him because they already know he's a bad guy. He's a sinner, therefore he's out. They've already written him off. And so he does something incredibly drastic. I'm still fascinated to this day by this. I haven't seen an adult man grown to climb a sycamore tree in quite some time, but I imagine it still looks just as ridiculous. It's really something to see. Can you imagine a fully grown adult, someone, a respected member of the community? Think of one of the leading bankers in town. What if they climbed the tree just to see what was going on? It's more than a little ridiculous. Zacchaeus so much wants something. He's so much looking for something. He's so much seeking this out. He's willing to risk personal dignity for this because there's something more to it. Maybe he wanted to be a bit bigger of a man. Maybe he needed a leg up in life. Maybe he had a sort of smallness to his attitude. I don't know how many short jokes I can make back to back, but there's this challenge of a lack of growth. He's stunted in so many ways. I'm not even talking about his physical stature. And Jesus comes by. And I find this most curious. This is absolutely one of the most incredible moments here, because we have, in this moment, Jesus stops. He was just going to pass through town. He was just on his way to somewhere else, but he stops. And not just like he pauses, but he actually makes a moment and looks up and sees the ridiculous man sitting up in the tree and says, "I'm coming to your house for dinner tonight. I'm coming to stay at your home." Now, Eastern thinking, this was the way invitations worked. The people came up to you and said, "I'm coming to stay at your home," and it was considered a great honor. Of course, we in the West, I challenge you to think about that for a second. So imagine a stranger approached you on the street and said, "Today I'm going to have dinner at your house." "No, thanks, I'm good." There's a kind of difference in our attitude in life, but Jesus invited himself over, not in a displacing sort of way, but because this was the act of great honor. He's given Zacchaeus a chance for something. And it's very interesting to think about this, because he's giving him this opportunity. And of course, all the people are mad. Why is he spending his time with some... We know he's a sinner. He's terrible. He's a traitor. He can't even belong to the house of Abraham anymore because he has abandoned us. He has turned his back on us. And Zacchaeus takes an indignity. He's given this chance to repent. He's given a genuine opportunity to turn from his ways. And he jumps on it. Behold, half of what I have I'll give to the poor. Anyone that I've wronged, I'll give four times over. It's a curiosity to me, because if we truly think about this, when was the last time you think Zacchaeus got a chance to repent? Was given an opportunity to turn back to God? It seems almost strange, but if we actually stop and consider it, we still struggle with this attitude, don't we? We know those people who have that habit of sin, who are just frustrating in so many ways, or drive us crazy, or we're mad at because they're doing some public sin, or they're doing some awful deed, or they're doing some awful act, and we want to just sort of cut them out. We know they're bad people. They've done these bad things. We're done with them. But what if they want to repent? Do they want God any less than we do? Should they be cut out from God just because we don't like the sins that they've committed? It's curious, because as we look at this genuine gospel passage, it isn't even a parable that Christ poses. It's not even a possibility. It's something that actually happens. He's given the opportunity to repent so that he might turn back to God. He's primed for it. He wants it. I know he wants it because he jumps on it the very first chance he gets. But could we do the same? Could we see the people in our life who we know have done wrong, who are, maybe they're public sinners, or maybe we just know them so well that we know their private sins? Could we welcome them back to God? Could we encourage them instead of just cutting them off and inviting them back to God? It's a genuine challenge for us, and it's hard to consider, because here we have this, it's no different for us. If we saw that person, would we really want to welcome them back? Would we really want to give them that opportunity? And knowing full well that while Zacchaeus may have been primed to find God, if we give that opportunity to others, they may not jump on it the first time, or the second time, or the 40th time. But could we give them that chance? Could we give them that opportunity? It's a serious reflection for us to consider. Is it possible for us to allow these people to enter back into a life with Christ? Perhaps even entering back with a life with us. To give them the opportunity to grow in the grace that God wants. To grow in the grace that they need from God. Of course, on the other side of this is the other thing that is worthy of consideration with this gospel. And that's, if what if we're the outcast? What if we're the one who thinks we're no good? What if we believe somebody else has told us that we don't belong in a community, or we feel cast out, or we're not good enough, or we're too small, or too weak, or too... Name whatever lacking acronym, or name whatever lacking synonym you want. We're too not enough. What does it take to come back into God's graces? Well, jump at the opportunity. God wants us back. Remember that even this man, this traitor, this outcast, this horrible lowest of the low, and trust me, you don't get lower than a tax collector in Israel. You don't. God wanted him back too. Nothing, and I assure you, nothing that you've done or can do will be worse than that. And God wants you back too. He wants us all to return back to Christ. He wants us all to turn back to him so that we might live in that greater joy, so that we might have that greater opportunity, so that we might be a part of the life of God. So here's the challenge for the week. If you know that person is cast out, you have to give them a chance to come back. I'm not saying you forget all of the past hurt. I'm not asking you to forget anything. I'm asking that we give them more opportunities to come back to God. Because that's exactly what wisdom is telling us. Wisdom points it out. He says, why are you looking past these people's sins? We see these bad people. Why don't you punish them? I'm giving them a chance to turn back. No matter how many times they screwed up, we're giving them that chance to turn back. And on the other side of the coin, if you are that person who feels cast out, if you feel like you are that one who is rejected, who is outside, who is alien to the community, come on back. God loves you, and he wants you back. He doesn't love you because he doesn't know what you've done. He knows. He still wants you back. So return to the community that wants you to have a life of grace.